This is a spiritual reading being given for Ivana Postregna on Saturday the 17th of February 2024 by John Rawson in Victoria, Australia. Well, we stand within the Hall of Memories, Ivana, and I've already on a previous occasion given you something of the Book of the Soul. So let's just recap very quickly that the Book of the Soul is a metaphor for all the incarnations which the soul has entered into since it first came into physical existence hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years ago. And the book, as I receive it, has a beautiful light rose colour, and that actually is reflected in the first colour of the aura today. And the name on the cover is The One Who Waits by the Door, which is a really interesting name, and I think more relates to the arc of the soul since Atlantis, because that name was first given to the soul in the Atlantean period, when you were in those days a very humble person. You took humility to an excessive degree, and so you didn't feel yourself worthy of entering the temple, and you stayed outside and you waited to be called. But the spiritual worlds weren't interested in you being so humble. They were interested in your willingness to hear the call. And so you never got invited into the temple, which was sad, because it means that the soul has been waiting and waiting for the opportunity to enter into the mysteries. But as you now know, the opportunity is given in this life. And the soul has indeed entered into the mysteries. And so that the very fabric of the soul evolution is hastened, it's accelerated. And that is probably the reason for some of the questions that you're asking at the moment about work, health, what you're going to do. And it comes down, comes back in the end to the spiritual processes that are happening within the life. Now, I'm guided in the Hall of Memories into a room. And it's like going into a deeper cave, into a deeper part of the Hall of Memory. And here I'm shown a very interesting picture. And it's a picture of an enormous angel with wings, face shines like the sun. The angel has legs of fire, and he sits astride, or he stands astride your body, with one foot on the throat center and the other foot on the adrenal center. This mighty angel, which if you've followed the path to Pentecost you will encounter in the Book of Revelation, this angel is known as the guardian of the threshold. And when it comes into your life, then you can suffer terribly because the accumulated negative energies that we've acquired not during this incarnation, but through incarnation after incarnation, have to be faced. And these energies, you could call them almost demonic energies, they are sometimes seen by people who are clairvoyant like an enormous, ferocious demon that you have to get past. But that demon has no reality other than as a part of you that wants to prevent you from moving forwards. Now, when we encounter the guardian of the threshold, and there are two, but the second one's a bit later on, this is the first guardian of the threshold, or the guardian of the first threshold, if you like. It's to do with awakening certain centres in the body. And the Book of Revelation, as you would know now, personifies these centres as the seven churches. They are really seven seals, and as I perceive them upon you at the moment, they are like heavy, weighted, leaden or metallic seals that cover every centre. And so the seals contain the old energies within the centre, and first of all you have to become aware of those energies that are contained within each centre, and then, and life will do this to you, and then if you encounter Christ within your life, the centres will be unsealed. As the Book of Revelation puts it, the seals will be broken. The first seal to be broken is the seal at the heart centre. And this has been broken through your experience of love and lack of love at times within this incarnation. That you have greatly suffered through certain relationships, that where you've given love, it's been abused or it's been used to control you, and that within your relationships, you've probably had a bit of a stop-start pattern, or a bit something like a seesaw swinging from adoration to rejection, big highs, big lows. And you've managed to get through that and open the centre, which opens up much greater possibilities within the life. It opens for the first time, and perhaps in many incarnations, the possibility of healing. And I don't quite mean healing on a physical level, although that can certainly happen. And in fact, I'll just take a moment out from describing the heart center. I will explain that you are entering into a 2-year phase of life where you will have a chance to resort work situations and health situations. You will resort the routines in your life. Now that may mean that you'll move. I don't actually see that you are subject at present to a great force that would make you move. You've obviously changed your work situation, and you've got a question about that, which we'll look at later. But the health problems in health, the wanting to do something else in your life, which is really good, these things are results. They're not causes. They're results of the intense energies that are released when the guardian of the threshold asks you certain questions within your life. When the heart center has been opened, then the opportunity arises for the next two centers to be opened, which are the two centers on either side, and the one below the heart center is the adrenals, and the one above the heart is the will center. And the angel, the guardian of the threshold, stands with feet of fire upon these centers, which means that these centers are injected with a spiritual fire. And that's not an easy energy. When the fire of Christ, if you like, enters into the will center, then one's willfulness is put to the test. And we are posed with situations within life where we might try and exercise the will in terms of life changes and in terms of making decisions. This wouldn't work for you. You cannot make changes in your life through an act of will. You cannot turn around, and this is just you I'm talking about. You cannot turn around and say, "Oh, I think I'll do that. Oh, I think I'll do the other. Oh, I think I'll move to Queensland," or I think I'll go and have a relationship with this person or that person. That's not going to work, because when the will center is pierced and unsealed by the energies of Christ, then what we are being asked to do is to respond. Now, the more you try and make decisions out of your own energy of will, and you've got a strong will, but the more that you try and do that, the more frustration comes into your life. So if you feel at present a high level of frustration, look and see how your will is being exercised, and just try and discover where it is that you need to respond. And one of these responses will come in the change of work and career within the life. These changes are very necessary because you've finished one enormous phase of life. You've come to the age of 49. Congratulations, you've come to the end of karma. And I often say that to people, and they say, "But I've still got horrible things going on in my life and nothing's working." And that's because karma has an inertia, as the physicists say. Inertia is the tendency of a moving object to keep moving, and the tendency of a still object to stay where it is. So that works in both ways. If you have become very comfortable in who you are and where you are, that's a lot of inertia and hard for spirit to change. But I think you're very sensitive to spirit, as we shall see. The other aspect of karma is that it tends to keep moving, and so that there are still certain relationships within your life that have to be worked out, and will probably take between 3 and 7 years to work out. Although I understand that next year, this year, next year, about halfway through this year, on through next year, is a time of relationship opportunity. So, a great chance to make something permanent and expansive within relationships. It indicates a time where you can form relationships which give you a feeling of well-being. They enlarge you, they don't control you, they make you a better person, they don't restrict you or confine you. Let's come back to the guardian of the threshold for a moment. So, one foot is on the wheel centre, and that's being unsealed. The second foot, or the left leg as I see it, is on the adrenal centre. That's a great deal of weight on the centre of emotion, of fantasy, of instinct, of wanting to make changes within life. The adrenals is the centre of the astral, so it stirs up an enormous amount of emotional turmoil. And because that centre is the centre where chi is stored too, or it's part of the place where the etheric, the chi energies are stored, that there is it then affects the chi energies within the body, the we would call them the etheric, but I like the Chinese word qi. So that the chances are that one of the battles that you wage when you're passing through the guardian of the threshold is that you may find your nervous system, and particularly your spine, your digestive system, your stomach area, that these are greatly stimulated and not in a very pleasant way, so that there can be a lot of pain moving throughout the body. Now, you know that from a spiritual point of view, we are not physical bodies, we are spiritual beings who are hitching a ride in a physical body. And we do that through the assistance of a set of subtle bodies, bodies that are non-physical, the astral body and the etheric body. It's the and this is, then above the astral body is the soul body. Now, when the guardian of the threshold comes into our lives, it affects the interaction between these three bodies. I hope you can grab that. It's not the soul body that's being attacked, or the astral body that's being attacked specifically, or the etheric body, but it's the way they interact, and it's in the interaction between the subtle bodies that we experience problems with the health. Now, from a spiritual point of view, again, the etheric energies, which are the life force, it's the etheric that you need to strengthen if you want to feel healthier. It's the etheric that you need to work with if you are going to maintain and create and maintain a sense of physical well-being and physical dynamism. That's what we all want. We want to feel vital and at home in our physical body. Now, the etheric body works through a set of points and channels. I'm sure you're familiar with this. Not the spiritual centers, they have a different function, but the etheric centers. And there are centers all over the body. I hope that you still have your little book of chi from Wise Art Level 3, because I would suggest as a starting point, just a starting point, that you start dealing with the blockages in the energies. And the reason that we feel ill is simply because our etheric energies, the chi energies, are blocked. And they are blocked by what one might call emotional vortexes, emotional vortices, like little negative spirals that enter into the body at certain point and store themselves as undiscovered, secret, hidden, emotional energies. So the guardian of the threshold comes along and it starts to put an energy into all these channels and points. And what that does is it causes immense consternation to these negative energies that have their own personality and they have their own sense of I, if you like, their little eyes. And when they erupt, then we take on that character of that I. That's how we can say to someone, oh, I hate you. It's not our I, it's this emotional energy that has erupted from the past, probably a past life, come into consciousness and speaks for us. So when you look at what you're saying to yourself, what are you saying to yourself? For example, you're saying, I hate the cold. Well, that's not the I am that hates the cold. That's not the Christ self that hates the cold. That's a little energy that's coiled up inside you. And it's all these little energies that are coming unbound and springing into action like jack-in-the-boxes. So what you need to do is you need to work on the chi levels. If you open your little book of chi when you finish this reading, go to the first chapter on the six etheric gates, and they are something like this. The first etheric gate is breathe. Obviously, if we stop breathing, the etheric disappears and we die. Or we die and the etheric disappears, whichever order you like. So make sure that you are breathing properly. And you've been trained in yoga, as I understand it, so you understand about breathing. Make sure that you are not shallow breathing and that you're using some of those wonderful breath exercises that you learned. The second etheric gate through which the etheric will work is drinking. And this may seem so simple that it's trivial, but make sure that you drink water every day. And I believe that the current recommendation is between 1.5 and 2 litres per day. It's really easy to miss that. And it doesn't mean you can have water and coffee or tea because they contain caffeine, which are diuretics. And it doesn't mean you can have wine because that might have water in it. But it's also a diuretic, and that means absolutely pure water. So make sure that you do that. So that's points 1 and 2 covered. That'll help your physical body. Then the third etheric gate is eating. Before we started this reading, Melody said to me, and she's the health expert, make sure you tell Ivana to eliminate gluten, sugar, and dairy from her diet. She's just said, add probiotics. And you know, the Taoist masters were concerned that they didn't eat a lot. They didn't eat gluten. They didn't drink milk, so there's no dairy there. They had a little bit of protein. They ate rice, which is gluten-free, and they enriched their diet with herbs and vegetables, and they lived to, well, according to one guy, he reckons he was 300 years old. I'm not saying that you're going to make 300, but you might make the first century if you start looking after the body in this sense. You'd certainly be more comfortable in the body. Then the fourth chi gate is sleeping. You've got to have enough sleep, or else the astral won't withdraw, which it does during sleep, and when the astral withdraws properly in a deep sleep, then the etheric comes to the surface and can heal the body. The fifth etheric gate are the chi exercises. And if you really want to assist yourself to get through this, get the energies moving properly, read back through the chi book, redo the microcosmic orbit exercise, and start at the beginning, open each of the points, take 2 to 3 weeks over each of them, allow yourself a year to bring this exercise to mastery, and then do it 5 days out of 7. If you do that, you will be assisting the guardian of the threshold in its work of clearing out the old chi, the old karma. Everything will start to move smoothly, and because things are moving smoothly within you, they will start moving smoothly within your world. Work opportunities will come to you. And by the way, in terms of your aura colours, we'll come to that in a moment. We'll just move on to the. I'll come back to the work situation a bit later. The final, or the sixth gate of chi, is meditation, and here you choose one practice that you do regularly. Again, my recommendation is 5 times out of 7. If you say I'm going to do something every day, and then we fall down, then we build into ourselves a sense of failure, which is ridiculous. You can't fail at spiritual practice. There are, as the New Year reading said, 72 spiritual practices that will assist you in your spiritual development. Then there is the Mass, which is separate again. And then there's the Rosary, which is separate again. So there's a lot to choose from. But the secret is, pick one to do every day of your life, or 5 days out of 7, for 10 years. Don't stop. Maintain the practice for 10 years, or else it is it's a waste of time. What happens with many spiritual people, and this is you will encounter, because once you pass the first guardian of the threshold, you will come to the second guardian, but that doesn't happen till you've been doing one practice for, say, 10 years. What happens to many spiritual people is that they pick up a practice and they get, showers of meteors, fireworks erupting, amazing, wonderful, mystical spiritual experiences. This is good. This is wonderful. That's good. But there's an old Hindu proverb coming from the time of the Upanishads. Says, neti neti, not this, not that. In other words, just because you're getting wonderful phenomena from a particular practice doesn't mean that that's the point of the practice. It's not. If you get that, it's amazing, but it's a gift. But you should be able to move beyond that, because in the end, if you persist for 10 years with any practice you like, it can be as simple as the I am exercise, watching your thoughts and applying the I am exercise. I am angry, I am confused, I am in pain. When you say, hello, angry, who are you? Hello, confused, who are you? Do that every day. Watch your thoughts every day. Do that every day for 10 years, you will reach enlightenment. Actually, you'll reach enlightenment a lot earlier than 10 years. But once you've reached enlightenment, you'll continue to do that because it will be part of your being. So, the sixth chi gate, meditation, is simply a practice that you integrate into your life. Pick one, stay with it. Get back to me in 10 years and tell me how it's gone. I promise you, you'll be a different person for it. Now, I'm assuming that over your health problems, you've been to see a doctor or doctors and you've got their opinions. So all I can do here is explain to you what you can do for yourself on a spiritual level to make enormous changes within your life. And as I've said, you are entering into a phase where it's good to examine different practices to help with the health. And particularly, this is a time, by the way, when people often make changes in their diet and their way of living and their routines. And I'm glad that you've finished your you've got rid of the work that you've been doing, because I suspect that it was had a lot of stress built in, and perhaps it played havoc with your natural rhythms of waking and sleeping. And if you're running your own business, then there's always this incredible pressure on you because you're the one making decisions. So that's the guardian of the threshold. Our teacher would say that the sign of the guardian of the threshold working within a person is instability. The angel in the book of Revelation has one book on the land, one foot on the land, and one foot in the sea. Well, what that means is that the centers, spiritual centers above the heart, are consciousness. It's where our consciousness resides. We're conscious when we're being willful. We're conscious when we make an observation, which is the brow center. We're conscious when we open up and in prayer and meditation. That's the crown center. So one part of the guardian is to work with consciousness, but the other foot of the guardian is in the sea. And that represents the unconscious, and it indicates that all the stored, or not all, because we would die if that happened, but many of those negative energies that have been created from millennium after millennium will now be released, and they come into consciousness, and they make us very miserable. They make us depressed. We think everything's, I was going to use a very bad Australian phrase then, but I won't. Everything's going bad. No, not at all. This is good. This is good that all this negative stuff's coming out, and I don't like what I'm doing, and I don't like living where I live, and I don't like being cold. Now, this is actually really positive, because you can do something about it. You don't like your work, you can change work. I don't like where I live, well, you can move to Queensland. That'll fix that, because you will be nice and warm as well. Just don't move too far off the grid, because we would like to have you communicating with the temple, which of course you can do from anywhere in Australia as long as you can get internet. So yeah, make changes. The interesting thing though is that I don't see within the aura and within what's happening to you a compulsive energy that would push you towards change, that irreversible change, I think that's what I'm trying to say. I think that you could benefit more from seeing the next 7 years as a transition, and a transition on every level. Remember we said that karma was completed. Well, to be technical, it's completed over this last year. By the time you get to your 50th birthday, throw a big party, because that's it. You can move forwards. But the interesting thing is that when you reach 49, you commence a transition period, which will take you to about the age of 56, 57, and even 58, which is your second Saturn return, when you'll be able to look back and say, oh, I've done the right thing now, we hope. But see the next 6 or 7 years as a transition. So if you want to transition your work, do it, but don't rush into something. Take time, be gentle with self. Sure, exert some energy. That's the first word given in the new year reading. Energy. Start doing it, but don't just blow off steam or explode your life because you're not channeling the energy that's there at the moment. Direct that energy that's in your life. And the second word that was given in the new reading, and you really need to take this on board with your physical body, I think, is patience. Be kind to your body. Look after it. Give it lots of etheric energy. Take it away on a holiday. Go and sit in the sun somewhere. Go and have a wonderful romantic rendezvous with an old flame. Well, let's go and look at some of the other questions that you've asked. The aura colours, they've changed actually, I think. I had an old aura chart, but they've actually changed significantly. So I'll give the new colours and Melody can draw an aura chart and we'll let you have the new one. That the first colour is still light rose. And that's actually, I always think that light rose is a difficult colour. It's an unusual colour, but then you already know that you walk to a different beat. You already know that you're a bit of a square peg in a round hole. Perhaps a round hole, a round peg in a square hole, I'm not quite sure. But you're different, and you see the world differently from other people. Light rose, sensitivity plus. In fact, too oversensitive, I would say. The challenge with light rose is to establish equilibrium. Not this, not that, as the Hindu proverb would say. Or as the Buddha would put it, you're tuning a violin. If you tune the string too high, too hard, too taut, then the sound is distorted. It becomes too high. It's off pitch. If you tune the string too low, then the sound is distorted again. And the challenge is to realize or follow one's oscillations between the highs and the lows of life and find the middle way. And I think you've become much better at that in the last 6 or 7 years. And you will achieve mastery of that in the time to come. In terms of vocation, it's so interesting that you were in business because Light Rose, I can see why you'd go into business, that's in the second colour now. But light rose, it's associated with clairvoyance, psychic ability, sensitivity. And if you work too close to people, you'd pick up their emotions. And you'd have to defend yourself by putting up a really strong barrier around yourself so that in a business sense you block people off to some extent because you don't want to pick up on their emotions. And that's because the second colour is light brown, which is, by the way, a really good colour for business and indicates the ability to accumulate money. I'm not saying that you'll be a multi-millionaire and Elon Musk type entrepreneur. That's a bit different. You don't care for money like that. You don't care to make that sort of money, but you do care for comfort, and that's good. you do care to have beautiful things around you, which Light Rose adores. You probably should travel, because Light Rose likes to go to beautiful places, or to places, for example, like Egypt, where memories lie near the surface for you. I hope when you were in Egypt you visited Abydos, which is a temple, I think, to Osiris, I think in the south of Egypt, because you had an incarnation there as a priestess about 4,000 years ago, so it's about 2000 BC. Well, that would make sense. And you were in charge of a pool, a healing pool. And I don't suppose that healing pool is still there, but you never know with Egypt, things last forever. And you would guide people through a sort of a purification process, and that was to do with sounds and scents, so that they would be cleansed first, and then you would plunge them into the pool, plunge their head under, a bit like a baptism, and pray to the God for healing. It's interesting that you have healing within the aura colours, and one would not think that light rose and yellow brown are connected to healing, but they actually are, because you know, to be a healer, you've actually got to have your feet on the ground. You've actually got to be very practical. You can have all the compassion in the world, which light rose can. Light rose can be extremely compassionate, in fact too compassionate, but unless you've got something like the browns, with a touch of yellow, which is even better, bringing you back to pay attention, you're going to go off the deep end and give, if you're a nurse, you give people someone the injection of the wrong drug, or if you're a doctor, you'd probably operate on the wrong side of the body or something. You'd just be so much up in the air. But when you have those two together, then there's a huge ability to be grounded and to achieve practical expectations. It's interesting, Ivana, I don't know whether you've been to university, but you certainly have the colours for study, for long distance or short distance study. Sorry, I actually meant to say not long distance or short distance, I meant higher level study. And light rose is not a natural intellectual colour, but my goodness, the brown and the yellows there, they are very, very focused, very able to focus. So in this transition period, make it more long term, not just going from one business to another or from business to a job, although you should be able to get work easily in the next couple of years, and just go from one place to another. There's no great vocational imperative here. That's going to come later. I think that you can achieve a complete vocational change, though, in 7 years. It's interesting that the aura now has greens, sort of as the third colour. And greens are associated with healing and possibly indicate a connection with pursuing healing as a vocation. Greens are also awfully fidgety colours, so I could imagine at the moment that you really want to change things around. Just remember that this is a year also of patience, being kind. It's also the year of mates, of thinking things through. Make sure that you have a plan. should be good at making plans and creating milestones for your future. Make sure that you write down what it is that you want to achieve and when you want to achieve it. Do some of these concrete things. That really makes the yellow brown happy. Purples from the shoulders. It's the priesthood. And that's a lovely place to have the purples, because it means, because the shoulder colours are behind you, so to speak, it's not something that you particularly look at. It's an aspect of yourself that is close, very close to you, but it's not something that you need to work on. So you will find that your priesthood and the healing of souls comes without you noticing. And very often in the free priesthood, we're not allowed to notice where we change people and how we affect people's lives and how we heal the soul, because the purpose of the priest is to heal the soul by giving hope. By giving hope that there is more than just a physical body, a physical world, and a physical existence. And the way the free priesthood works is we do this unconsciously. Well, unconsciously is wrong. We are conscious of being priests, but we do it without lecturing or preaching or telling other people how things are. We let other people find things out for themselves. Life is the best teacher of all. So the purples, beautiful. Oranges in the vortex coming into the head, which is really good, because I think you had another colour inside the head last time, but now it's orange inside the head and orange entering the head through the crown centre. And this represents, I think, the energies that have become part of you through the work with the temple. Of course you can continue the work with the temple. You can continue the work with the temple as long as you like. And even if the temple didn't exist on a physical level, you are still part of the temple in spirit for as long as that energy lasts on the spiritual levels. Orange is the colour of Christ, and Christ will change us all. Christ changes everything. Christ had to come in as a divine being and change from spirit into matter, and then had to change matter back into spirit. So that's two miracles that can only be perhaps done by a god, but then we're getting there gradually. We're little gods, we're gods in training. Now, the development of the clairvoyance is a very interesting question, because clairvoyance is not the same thing as psychic. It's not the same thing as having spiritual experiences. Clairvoyance is a very simple thing. It just means seeing things clearly. And the very first indication that you are clairvoyant is that you see yourself clearly. I mean, why would you want to see clarity about anyone else in the world? We want to see ourselves for who we are. So that there is first of all an encounter with self, and you'll know you're clairvoyant because you won't need to come to me for a reading anymore. And the whole point of encouraging people to become clairvoyant in the temple is so that you could answer for yourself each one of those questions. If you were clairvoyant, you would know the answers, because you would know yourself. So that's what we're working to. And it's a work in progress. But again, it happens slowly. And I would, because I can see the oranges in the head, I would say that you have come a huge distance in the last 7 years. And that's why you are been given the test of passing the guardian of the threshold. And the single principle to pass that test, to pass the guardian, is to discover your center, who you are in the middle, not ecstasy, not depression. Saints pass between ecstasy and depression frequently, but saints are not necessarily enlightened. When we have the light within us, which is different, then we can move forwards in a straight line, moving, looking neither to the right nor to the left, but gazing steadily in front of us. So that when you achieve stability out of your life, when you create stability, let's put it the other way around, you're going to create stability, then you will know that you've passed the guardian. And it can take a few years, 7 years. And by the way, when you've passed the guardian to the first threshold, then the next two spiritual centers to be unsealed are the brow center and the Leiden, the gonads, not the gonads, the abdominal center, we could call it, the Dantian, if you like. And that's when memory will awaken very strongly on a very conscious level. And when vision, first of self, will become unveiled, and you'll see so much. But then you encounter the second guardian of the threshold, and that one's trickier than the first guardian. The first guardian stirs you up emotionally, and has you running around chasing your own tail, and you want to go here, there, and everywhere. So that the secret to dealing with that is to say, I'm living in my own center. When the second guardian comes along and stimulates the brow center, then we start thinking, oh, I can see everything. Oh, it's all obvious to me. Oh, I can see what's happening there. I can see where that's going. And that's falling into the trap of the second guardian. Because until we can see self clearly, our clairvoyance is controlled by another force, another energy. And we don't want it to be controlled by this other energy, because the other energy disperses our vision. And if you can first of all see yourself clearly, then there's the second sign or the second signature of clairvoyance, the second revelation of clairvoyance, is to see Christ. And that's not a fantasy, an imagination, that's an absolute reality. And when you've had that vision, then you can say you are clairvoyant. And here's something really interesting. When you have passed that second guardian, you find that you have dropped all longing and desiring to be clairvoyant. As long as we want to be clairvoyant, as long as we think about developing clairvoyance, forget it. We're butting heads against the second guardian, and you've got to get past the first guardian first. We become clairvoyant when we no longer desire it. And that's probably going to mean absolutely nothing to you at the moment. But listen to this reading again in 7 years, and it may suddenly make complete sense to you. It's a seed. Sometimes it takes 7 years for a seed to come into existence. There are a lot of blues around you at the moment. And blues are a depressive colour. They're very spiritual, so no doubt you're going through a spiritual washing machine and wondering where how you're going to come out. But the blues want to put pressure and say and make you feel negative about yourself and negative about your life. If you feel, what have you said? My immune system is weak. I want to know if I will ever recover and be strong, pre-free, pain-free again. Of course, just put that out there. You have immense power. I'm not sure if you remember the temple session where I talked about a spiritual partner, a partner in spirit for each Melchizedek priest. Reach out to your spiritual partner.
Yes, I remember.
Tell them what you want. Say, I want to get well. I want to feel whole again. Start making that communication, and I think you'll be amazed at what comes towards you. Healing is coming. I have no doubt about that. You're doing the right thing. You're making changes. You're entering on this transition phase. Now, I'm going to finish this reading by telling you about a very significant past life that you had in the first century. When you were in a female body in the Essene community on Mount Carmel, you could call it a mystery school if you like. And this particular branch of the Essenes knew that from their midst the Messiah would come. And you were incarnated in there amongst, you were one of a number of young women. And you knew there two Marys. I know the Bible talks about one Mary, but there were actually two Marys there. And out of time, out of what was expected, out of what was anticipated, the spirit entered into these two women. They were two young girls. They were really only about 15, 16, I think. Very, very young. And they became pregnant. And it's interesting you've asked about the Immaculate Conception. And what I can say here is that there was no male involved in the conception of these, the pregnancy of these two women. That what the action of the spirit was to create the division of the egg starting. Now, when that happens, there's only one strand of DNA. There's no DNA from the man, there's only DNA from the woman. But what happened was that on the etheric level, certain very evolved individuals were brought in to imprint upon the fetus as it developed, their own etheric, their own astral. So that these two Marys, they both brought to birth a son, boy child, and they both named him Jesus. And if you think that's a bit strange, in those days, Mary was a very, very common name. And here's something for you. Your name in that incarnation was also Mary. So there were three Marys. It's really, really fascinating. And you were a midwife, so that you helped one of the Marys bring their baby to birth. And the other Mary, she was taken away by and older Essene, because things that the Essene community, oh, I'd love to write this down one day. The Essene community was thrown into furore. Here was this very puritanical little enclave of people, very self-righteous, and purification was everything to them. And two of their, somehow or another, two of their precious young women became pregnant. Well, you can imagine the scandal that caused amongst the community. They didn't know how it happened. They just thought it happened the old-fashioned way, but it hadn't. They had not realized that what they'd been praying and working towards, the birth of the Messiah, had actually happened. So they reached out to other Essene communities. They needed to have these embarrassing young ladies with their baby taken care of. So that's where Joseph came in. That story you can read about in St. Luke and in St. Matthew. And there are two Jesuses, by the way, in that story. So there you are. You also get married out of the community, and you live in the town of Nazareth, so that you're friends with one of the Marys. In fact, both of the Marys end up in Nazareth. And here's something embarrassing for the theologians, that what happens when you bring to birth a child who has only got the mother's DNA, no father's DNA, only the mother's, just like he's being cloned. What happens is one of two things. Either that child is incredibly brilliant because all the good genes are reinforced, or they're imbecilic because the bad genes have been reinforced. So one of the Jesuses was an imbecile, one of the Jesuses was absolutely brilliant. And in the end, one of the Jesuses dies, and the etheric and the astral and the soul become united in the person of the remaining Jesus child. And this child is sent off to the Essenes to be trained. And we know the story that he then comes back, meets John the Baptist, Christ enters into him, and so on and so forth. Now, when Jesus went into his ministry, there were a lot of women who went with him. And you were one of the women that went and followed Jesus. That the women actually were the most faithful. And at the crucifixion, you were there with a woman named Dorcas. And with another woman called Cleopatra. And you were watched the crucifixion from a distance. So that you were there when Christ called out, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. You were there, you heard those fateful words. And you became part of the early Christian community. Still sitting outside the door, interesting, that you didn't commit yourself, and you missed out on the falling of the Spirit at Pentecost. So, in this incarnation, there is the sense of being present, but the sense of being outside. The sense of being so close, but the sense also of being excluded. And this is the incarnation where the doorway has been opened, and where the exclusion of the soul is dissolved, and the soul passes through the doorway, just as it's passed through the door that the guardian of the threshold, the first threshold, is opening. And when that happens, then the heart becomes filled with a joy and a power to love that the individual has never previously experienced. So I want to wish you, Ivana, the joy of this path. You will overcome the pain of the physical body. Treat yourself well. Go where it's warm. Stay in touch. A working holiday. How's that? Have a working holiday. Do something that will take you towards a 7-year goal. And just communicate with your spiritual partner and with the beings that surround you. Because when you were at the crucifixion, you felt very alone. But you did not see at that time that the whole of Golgotha was enveloped in a shining cloud of witnesses, the cloud of spiritual beings, the order of Melchizedek, of which you are a priest forever. So shall it be.